Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's fun to be with you again on this January day, going through the scriptures, and I'm excited to be in the book of Galatians with you again. And I know we had left off, we'd finished verse 8, where we talked about this idea of sowing and reaping, and the idea of sowing to the Spirit would lead to eternal life. And now I know we're going into verse 9 here, and I'll read it from the New American Standard Bible. This is Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Now, Bob, you had mentioned something in your sermon that I thought was fascinating. And my version here, the NASB, says, "Do not lose heart," or "Let us not lose heart." But you had a neat way of explaining what that phrase was.
Yeah, I used the Holman Christian Standard Bible, but I think it's even more striking in the Greek.
Yeah.
The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap in the proper time if we don't give up."
Mm.
Okay? And we were just talking before we started recording here. The Greek word here is a form, present passive participle, but it's a form of ekluo.
Yeah.
Luo would be to loose.
Right.
Okay. As in binding and loosing, you have luo.
Yeah.
Ek means out of.
Sure.
Okay. And even here in my little interlinear.
Yeah.
Where I have the stuff all parsed out.
Yeah.
They say being loosed out. Okay.
Sure.
And so the way I described it in my sermon, and I have it here in my PowerPoint as a title.
Yeah.
Do not bail out on the good.
Wow. I love that. I love that so much. That's a great way of putting
it. Okay. So now, this is a corollary to what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Okay. People think sowing and reaping is sort of a synonym for karma, or what goes around comes around.
Right.
Or you get what you got coming.
Yeah.
Everybody gets what they deserve.
Right.
And so on. A lot of things that people think and say.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were saying that this is eternal.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? That there's an eternal system of justice.
Right.
And that those who persevere in doing good seek for, what does it say in Romans?
Yes.
Immortality.
That's right.
Eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, so we need to persevere in sowing to the Spirit.
Right.
And doing good and believing the promises of God.
Yeah.
And being under the means of grace and obeying the Word of God.
Right.
Because that's what we'll be judged on.
Yes. You know, the risk is for the believer who's in Christ to look at their circumstances here in this life and say, well, you know, I've got problems, I've got things that are going wrong, therefore I must be doing something wrong. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing, and here they're being faithful to the gospel. I'm going to go on to something else. This isn't working out
for
me.
It's not working for me.
Right.
Oh, Eric, I have to say, in 40-some years of preaching,
yeah,
how many times have I seen that?
Oh.
Where people will bail out.
Right.
Because they're not getting what they think they need.
Yeah.
They have some temporal problem, and if whatever church they go to doesn't solve that problem,
yeah,
then they're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, how sad.
Well, then they'll end up eventually in some mega church with every program under the sun and the therapeutic gospel rather than the gospel of grace.
Right.
And they still have their problems, and maybe you feel better talking to somebody, but you can do that anytime.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what this is talking about.
Right.
It's talking about believing the promises of God and sticking with what God's provided.
Amen.
In obedience and yes, in faith, even though it's painful at the moment, you're not necessarily getting the outcome you wish you would get.
Right, right.
Now, Eric and I were talking about Moses, the example, and how Hebrews 11 uses Moses as an example of what it means to have faith. And so Eric's going to share that with us.
Yeah, here's Hebrews 11:23. And in this passage in Hebrews 11, there's many, many examples of saints from the past that they lived looking for the promises of God, and they're able to persevere and not bail out during this life. And Moses is a prime example. Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt,
Amen.
For he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And so it says, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. And so the big point is he lived for the promises of God. He was able to persevere through tremendous trials and tribulations.
Yeah, he suffered affliction with the people of God.
He did.
Rather than the riches and treasures of Egypt.
Yes.
And so the question...
Yeah.
You continue your thought, and then I have a question, okay?
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking of is one of the things I think that hamstrings Christians is false expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the Apostle Paul, who says it's through many tribulations that we enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus himself promises us trials and tribulations here and now, but his great promise is he's overcome the world. And so the point is we can never, the only thing that we're guaranteed in this life of being a Christian is the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and the resurrection to come. In other words, if we have problems in this life, that is just the way this life is. And so don't lose heart. Don't bail out, as Bob is saying. If you were promised something by God, like you're going to have a Cadillac, your kids are never going to get ill, you're always going to have a great job, your wife is always going to be, or your husband is always going to be great and, you know, thoughtful, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then you'd have, you know, grounds to be upset with God, but those promises weren't made in Scripture.
You know, we don't have those promises.
Right.
So here's the question I have for all of us
and
the listeners. Okay, are we willing to persevere in doing good and believe the promises of God even when there's no obvious benefit right now?
Wow.
Okay, even when things go badly.
Yeah.
Even when we're not appreciated.
Yeah.
Or if you think of Moses, this unbelievable decision he had.
Oof.
The greatest glory and power and treasures in the known world.
Yeah.
Or a bunch of Hebrews are always complaining even about him.
Yeah. Yeah, great way of putting it.
They complained about God and Moses. They
right.
were grumblers.
Yes. Yeah.
So you want to go on your road to the promised land with grumblers. Or enjoy the pleasures of Egypt
right.
for a time.
Wow.
And the distinction that's being made in Hebrews 11 is between now and between eternity.
Yes, that's right.
They were looking for a heavenly city, as it says in that chapter.
Yeah, amen.
And we need to believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's probably anyone who's been a Christian for a very long time who hasn't at some point started to wonder, where's the benefit?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what benefit is there?
Right.
My life has gotten worse.
Right. It does. It often gets more difficult, yeah.
We're right, because now we need to please God, and we can't just go along and follow the course of least resistance.
That's right, that's right.
And we're surrounded by everything that's opposed to what we believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And that comes out here in the Greek. I was looking at this, and I know you just can't go by the little thing under the interlinear here, but I can look at the Greek word.
Yeah.
Ekkageo. Kake or kakos, isn't that evil?
Evil,
or bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it says here, give in to the bad.
Mm, wow.
Okay, so where it says get tired or grow weary.
Right.
The word that's being translated that way literally means give in to the bad or the evil.
Wow, right.
Okay, so surrounded by evil, surrounded by temptation.
Yeah.
Sometimes even having people mock you and say, well, look at you. Mm. What kind of a Christian are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And we might be tempted to grow weary, is what it says, or be tired.
Yeah.
The Holman Christian Standard. Or I think this is quite literal, give in to the bad.
Right.
See, exactly. I'm just going to give in.
Yeah.
Let's just get along, go along, get along.
It's easy to succumb to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get with the plan, go with this flow.
Right.
And go along with the world.
Right.
Don't do anything too terrible, but just don't confess Christ and the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, as you're mentioning this, Bob, the idea of not tiring and doing good, not bailing out. I think about in church history, you remember that fellow Athanasius who stood against the Arian heresy?
Oh, I know.
And do you remember how many times he had been banished and excommunicated?
Yeah, he kept getting driven away.
Right, he was excommunicated more than he was ever allowed back into his home.
Wasn't he from Alexandria?
Exactly, and you know, the poor fellow. And I just think about how he just kept striving for the correct doctrine of Christ. There's one who didn't grow weary.
Yeah. A good book that actually alludes to that and describes it is John MacArthur's book, The Truth War.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
He deals with that, and he talks about the book of Jude.
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
the issues are.
Right.
And we just know it's always going to be a battle.
It is.
And we can't, as I'm translating here, give in to the bad.
Yeah.
Or get tired of it.
Right.
Or just go along with whatever the, you know, Athanasius could have said, well, you know, why fight over this issue of the deity of Christ?
Right, exactly. No different than a soldier just putting his rifle down saying, you know, I've had enough of this battle. I'm packing it in. And what you're saying about...
And for quite a while, he was in the minority.
Yeah, he was. Wow. Yeah, the most of the Christendom then ended
up
being
Arius with his... Techniques, he had the best techniques. You read about this in MacArthur.
Yeah, what was his saying again, Bob?
Well, he had these sing-songy slogans.
Yeah, what was that one that he had?
There was a time when he was not.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It was very catchy, wasn't it?
Okay,
yeah.
Talking about Christ.
Yeah,
rather
right.
than co-eternal with the Father.
Right.
Arius, the heretic, said, there was a time when he was not. And he had a bunch of other ones like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And he kept churning those out.
He was a good propagandist.
And you'd forget everything else. Remember the little slogan?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I wrote a whole book rebuking Rick Warren.
Right.
Because he was trying to do the same thing. He made everything into a slogan.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of it was just human wisdom.
Right, anti-biblical human wisdom.
Yeah, so
wisdom.
You remember, he said, oh, people won't remember doctrine, but they'll remember a slogan.
Ugh.
A pithy saying.
Sure. Wow, isn't
that
dangerous?
So Arius was the master of that. And here, Athanasius had weighty theological doctrine about the deity of Christ to teach.
Right.
And people would rather go, there was a time when he was not.
Yeah, talking about how depressing that must have been to him.
But... Well, what a battle.
Yeah, what a battle.
So don't get weary. Mm, yeah. Don't give in to the bad and just go along with it because Athanasius was eventually vindicated.
Right. Hey, Bob, in your Greek text, it says for in due time. Is that for? Is that a gar?
Gar.
So, yeah, so there's an inferential reason here, or a reason why we shouldn't grow tired. He says, well, for in due time, we will reap if we don't grow weary. That due time is that term kairos.
Yeah, kairos, yeah.
Yeah, and now you and I have talked about this numerous times, but what's so beautiful is when you unpack kairos, this is to do with our eschatological salvation when Christ breaks through the clouds to rapture his church. And one of my favorite references of kairos is in Acts 1 where the apostles asked Jesus, hey, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
Yeah.
And here Jesus doesn't say, hey, where'd you get that goofy idea that the kingdom is coming to Israel? But instead he says, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, kairos, that are set
the
by my Father's
time.
Authority. Exactly. So the point is this kairos that's being referred to here, the, as you just mentioned it, the significant time or the appointed time.
Yeah, one way to help people understand it is chronos is quantitative time.
Yes.
Which ticks along. Kairos means qualitative time. This is the crucial moment. Now,
yes,
we talk like that in English, but there's not just one word.
Yeah, that's exactly
okay,
right.
We'll have a phrase that says that.
Right. A kairos time is something you write on your calendar, you know, a birthday, because it's a significant time.
Yeah, or even sort of more profound. We're rising to the challenge of the day.
Yes, exactly, right, okay. Yes.
That's a crucial moment.
Yes, exactly. So
when the fullness of time came, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son.
Amen.
Born under a woman, born of a woman, born under the law. And so that is where we get the idea of the crucial time.
Right.
And so that was the first advent.
Right.
But here it says, if we don't give up, we got to be like Moses.
Yeah.
And you could read about that yourself.
Yes.
In Hebrews 11, don't give in.
Don't give in. And one of the beautiful things that we're taught in the Christian scriptures and the Bible is that we don't know when this great time is going to come. In fact, Jesus says in Mark 13:33, he says, take heed, keep on the alert. In other words, he's exhorting us to be about the Lord's business, which is the opposite of growing weary or growing to do evil deeds. He says, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the kairos, the appointed time, will come. And so that's something that's one of the reasons why we had spent a lot of time talking about eschatology, is because that's our great reward and our great hope.
Yeah. And so there are parables.
Yeah.
And I remember from when I preached through Luke.
Yeah.
And there are other ones in the other Gospels, and some of them are parallel. But there's the steward or the head slave was in charge of the others.
Right.
And he says to himself, my master's delayed. He's a long time coming.
Yeah.
And he starts beating the other slaves and then having parties.
Right.
Well, there's a guy who gave in to the bad.
That's a great
illustration. He didn't want to believe what his master said.
Yeah.
And then he came and was assigned his place with the unbelievers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, are we going to believe that if we sow to the Spirit by believing the Word of God, believing the promises of God, and living accordingly, and be like Moses, and believe that there's an eternal reward and live that way, because there's a crucial kairos moment coming when there'll be a harvest, or... Here's, I'm looking at my Greek text.
Yeah.
Are we going to give in to the bad and bail out?
Right. That's the contrast.
Because right now it would be easier to just go along with the world.
Yeah.
Why fight the battle of the world, the flesh, the devil, when you can just go along with it?
Right. That's right. Amen.
But in so doing, we've proven that we don't believe what Christ said.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I have here on this PowerPoint that I gave back when I preached on this, we can become bitter and hardened by the sin around us and give in to the bad, which is warned against here.
Right. That's a great warning. Yeah.
And so the people who want a better temporal situation, you know, you see these reports in the news. There's, in the last 20 years, I can't tell you how many times you hear somebody embezzling from a church.
Yeah.
Some guy claiming to be an apostle set up a pyramid scheme here in Minnesota.
Right.
And built people of millions. Mm. Built himself a great big huge house. And now he's sitting in jail.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to his house, but he's got a new one.
Right. One with bars, right?
The old Crow Bar Hotel, you know. And this is Christian.
Yeah, that's so sad. Okay,
so if we're sowing to the flesh, if we're living in such a way that we're saying all we know is the here and now.
That's right.
And what we can get out of it.
Right.
Well, then that will become evident now.
Yeah, amen.
Corruption.
You know, and that, Rob, that's the problem with the social gospel. I look at so many churches, and they'll talk a lot about what they're doing here and now for people, but what they're doing is they're taking the focus off of people's hope. And the hope is, you know, look, let's say you have a person who's wealthy, and they're engaged in the social gospel, and they're helping, you know, the poor, they're doing this and that with different programs. But all of a sudden, let's take that person and say, you know, the next day they die. Well, what ultimately matters is eternity. That's where they have to meet God. And or let's say that person becomes disillusioned because they lose all their wealth. And now their hope was in the programs and the things that they were doing to make themselves feel good, the social gospel, and yet they had no truth. They weren't building their lives upon the rock. And that's what we're saying is one of the things that the church is called to when we preach the word is to give the promises of God so that God can enable the believer to remember these great promises that he's given them so that they will persevere. Because, yes, we believed and we were saved once and for all, but we as believers are those who are called to persevere and to believe the promises of God, not just yesterday, but true believers will believe them and will be kept in the faith by the power of God and live
accordingly. Yeah, I know. I've told in previous episodes, I told a story of growing up in a liberal social gospel.
Yeah.
Well, they just said there's no hell.
Right.
Okay. So you didn't have to worry about eternity.
Right.
And then they're... solution to whatever's wrong now is some version of Marxism or socialism that we're supposed to support.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the next slide here on my PowerPoint, or to the next verse, I should say, Galatians 6:10.
Yeah.
I'm quoting from the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Right.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those... for those who belong to the household of faith. Wow. Now, opportunity here is the same word we had in verse 9, kairos.
Oh, sure, right.
Okay, so there's this future kairos moment when the day of judgment comes.
Right,
okay?
Right.
The eschatological kingdom.
Right.
The coming of Christ. And there is... the opportunity now.
Yes, right.
Okay, so the two verses, 9 and 10, use the same word.
That's correct.
One that applies to the future judgment, one that applies to now.
Right.
So this one uses kairos. So while we have this kairos,
right,
we must work for the good.
Yeah.
Okay, the good is that which is in keeping with God's will and nature.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, so if we really do believe the promises of God, then I think that that passage we looked at with Moses would certainly apply.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, boy, he had the opportunity to go either way.
Right. That's a really good point, Bob. And, you know, it just shows us that today does matter. In fact, what we do today matters for eternity. And not that we're saved by our works, but the idea is that, look, part of the good that we are to do is to be about the gospel. And those who are in the gospel, who have the Spirit of God, they end up doing the good works that God has foreordained that we would walk in them. That's what he says in Ephesians 2:10. So the people of God were saved unto the good works which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we have a limited time to do these things. And we know from passages like in 1 Corinthians 3 that we will, in fact, we have to be those who build upon the foundation with that which is consistent with the gospel, because there is a day where we will come to the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be rewarded according to what we did during
the body. It's not bad that we teach these things.
No, that's right.
You know, one of the things that was shocking to me when I was in seminary, and don't get me wrong, I'm not ungrateful. I got great education, and I couldn't do what I've done the last 15 years had I not had an education.
Right, right.
But there were some problems, too, with some of the teachers that came along.
Yeah.
And this one came who ended up starting this whole program on marriage and family therapy.
Right.
Who is blaming the Christian doctrine of sin and guilt and moral responsibility for doing psychological damage to people and making it necessary that they go to therapy.
So if you tell them the people
and
the truth.
And she was the therapist.
Oh.
And so he just needed all this therapy because people were damaged by the idea that God judges sin.
Isn't that terrible?
And she accused Christians of abusing their children
by
singing songs like Be careful, little feet, where you go.
Oh.
The Father up above.
Bothered her, huh?
Well, that was abusive.
Oh, wow.
Because you gave you a wrong father image.
Oh, isn't that sad?
Yeah.
She thought like a pagan rather than a Christian.
Well, I was there hearing this, and I wrote a letter protesting about it to our old friend.
Yeah.
Dean.
Right.
Provost, he was called in your day.
Yeah.
And here we go again, around and around.
Wow.
But really, there's an important issue.
Yeah.
Are we going to define things biblically?
Right, right.
And I would say, and I did back then because I debated about this,
right,
that believing that there is a future day of reckoning,
yes,
that Christ is coming to judge the living and the dead,
yeah,
and that there's reward for doing which is good in keeping with God's will and nature,
yeah,
and that there's punishment for doing evil,
right,
that is an important Christian doctrine that will not psychologically damage people.
Right.
Okay?
That's well said.
And
yes.
It's not true that people who believe literally in the Bible are going to go out and do evil and damage people.
Right.
Not true. If you look at all of these hospitals, mission organizations,
right,
things even to this day that go on where Christians go all around the world doing good.
Yeah.
Okay? What does it say here? We must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. It's not even limited to other Christians.
Right, it's for all. Right.
And to say that these Christians who believe the gospel and believe that there really was a future judgment are not going to do anything but psychologically damage everybody.
Wow, isn't that sad?
Or they're motivated because they're from Western civilization. And there are these Euro males who abuse everybody.
Right.
I heard that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so if I came from the wrong culture, my ancestors came here from Europe.
Right.
Then I'm inherently an evil person who can't do any good in the church.
Wow.
Well, they weren't saying that. They were saying, I need to feel guilty, 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 and join them in their liberalism.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they want.
And vote for socialism every time I get a chance.
Exactly.
Then I can feel less guilty, but I never actually get rid of it.
Right. And we've shown in different ways that this different gospel, it's a different religion altogether. The social gospel, the liberal politics, which is really a Marxist politic, that's a religion. It's a false religion.
It's a false religion. So when I was in my 40s, that's when I was in seminary.
Yeah.
I kept debating continually.
Yeah.
With other students, with some of the teachers.
Right.
And particularly just the speakers that would come in for chapel were so liberal. And here I am in a Baptist seminary, and I thought, well, I thought I escaped from liberalism when I left the Methodist Church.
Right, right. That's
back in the 60s.
It. Yeah, here it's back.
Now, here it is again. And see, we're thinking humanistically. Yeah. We don't believe the promises of God.
Right.
We're thinking people need therapy rather than redemption.
Yep, salvation here and now.
We don't want to hear about the blood atonement. That's exactly what the liberals in the 60s were saying.
That's right. Who needs that?
Well, they wouldn't teach it.
Yeah.
They even took it out of songs and things. And so they had a truncated hymnal because they had to remove the blood atonement.
Sure.
And now here this is coming.
Wow.
And so somebody like me would be a relic, a throwback.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's exactly right because you actually believe in a literal judgment.
But what I'm saying right now on this verse, therefore, as we have Kairos, crucial moment, we must work for the good of all.
Yes.
I believe Christians are good citizens.
Right, right.
And that the people around us, our own children,
yes,
the neighbors, the community,
yes,
the people we work with at our job, are actually better off if we're people who take the Bible seriously and try to live accordingly.
Right.
Okay? We're actually working for the good.
Right. That's exactly it.
That is not really harming anybody, but no, these liberals are saying the most harmful people there are these Bible-believing Christians.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah, that's what we're accused of. And so they don't take God seriously. I have some scriptures that I quoted in my sermon. Here's one, Psalm 1. 30, 3 and 4.
Right.
If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
Stand, right.
But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared.
Wow. Wow, amen.
So, that's the biblical worldview.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And dear listeners, we ought to do good.
Yes, exactly.
We ought to care about people.
Right, right. Amen.
We heard from a minister. Well, we have a couple of ministries we support at our church, but we just heard from one on Sunday where they're helping pregnant young ladies who are contemplating abortion.
That's right.
And they're working to save lives. But see, the liberals think that's evil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people dying before they're able to be born is their definition of good. Why?
Right.
Because they don't have the scriptures informing their view of the term good.
Exactly, that's
to
right.
To do good to all is defined biblically.
Amen. Hey, let me ask you, Bob, where is it, I got to ask you, I want to just get a cross-reference to this idea of today, of the Kairos.
Yeah.
And remember in Hebrews it says,
today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of provocation.
Yeah, well, the other one I was thinking of is encourage one another while it's still called today.
Yeah, that's in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4.
That's what I thought. That's what I was looking. I didn't find it.
It's in there because I've taught Hebrews a couple of times.
I know.
I know the Bible, but I don't remember every single verse.
I know. I'm trying to find the...
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay. I know I'm quoting that.
Oh, here it is. I got it. 3:13. Okay. I thought it was in 3, but I found it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What verse is it?
Yeah, Bob, it's Hebrews 3:13. I just want to share this because as you were talking about this kairos, which isn't apparent in the English in verse 9, but today we have opportunity to do good. And one of the things we talk about often are the means of grace.
Yeah.
And one of those means is fellowship. Well, what do we do in the fellowship? Well, one of the things we do is encourage one another.
Amen.
And exhort one another. And that's what it says in Hebrews 3:13. It says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The point that the writer of Hebrews is making there with using the term today is... the whole idea is today is the day.
It's the kairos.
It's the kairos.
It's the kairos moment for doing good.
Exactly. And then there's a tomorrow when there's a kairos
moment. It's too late to do good.
Right? Because Christ returns and judgment comes upon those who don't believe. And so that's a theme that's often repeated throughout the scriptures is that there's a limited time under the sun, as Solomon would say, that we have to serve God.
To do good. Today is the day.
Yes.
You know, Emergent, I wrote a book about that too.
Yeah.
And I was out at their conference after I wrote the book.
Right.
They really delete the whole idea of future judgment.
That's their big issue, yeah.
It's just not there. In fact, they forthrightly reject it.
It would destroy their very doctrine.
Exactly. And so they think that they're going to be better people and do more good by not having a doctrine of future judgment.
Isn't that sad? That is so sad that
they don't understand that if Christians take the Bible seriously, we're commanded by our Lord to do good.
Yes,
the early apologists like Justin Martyr and Tertullian, they said that to the Romans. We pay our taxes, we pray for you, we do good. We're commanded by Christ.
We're good citizens.
So why are you persecuting us? What did we do to you?
Right.
Well, we're out of time.
Well, I guess we're out of time.
This is a great discussion.
It is, Bob. Well, thank you so much for all your work here in this book. And we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. It was a pleasure discussing these passages with you, Bob. I look forward to doing it next week. And we want to remind all of you out there to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.